Amen? Amen? Well, I'm about to take off and don some clothes to go do baptism. But in the meantime, why don't you welcome Pastor Craig?
Thanks, Pastor Carey. Good morning, everyone. Morning, mate. I appreciate that. Hey, look, just to echo Pastor Carey, if you're visiting here, warm welcome to you this morning, particularly if you've come to see a loved one being baptized. We just really appreciate you coming to support and encourage them all this day. So, as you probably realized, our church is packed this morning. It's a big day for the church. It's a central moment of remembrance of the greatest comeback of all time. Our church has focused on the theme of discovery so far this year, and this morning is no different. We're going to look at the most thrilling, awe-inspiring discovery within the Bible. It's a morning where we remember that the promises made by Jesus, including the promise that he would rise up from the grave. You see, this morning, we remember that the promises of God are true and trustworthy. And that Jesus was exactly who he said he was, the Son of God. So let's recap on the events that we've looked at across this holy week. See, we began the journey last Sunday, Palm Sunday, as Jesus entered Jerusalem. He was hailed as a king, revered as the one to overcome the Roman rule of the day. He rode in on a donkey as the people laid their cloaks on the ground as a mark of respect to him. They shouted, "Hosanna," which meant "save me" or "rescue me." You see, they cried out for a savior last Sunday. They waved palms as a sign of great authority passing them by. And then on Friday, just days later, the one they had hailed as king, the one they had cried out to save them, was the one the people chose to crucify. They chose Jesus and pardoned a well-known criminal, despite Jesus committing no crime. Their cries had changed from "save me" to "crucify him." And indeed, as we know, they did. You see, Jesus suffered a brutal death amongst the mocking of the soldiers that led that crucifixion. Jesus had been betrayed by Judas, one of his close friends, one of his 12 disciples. He'd been abandoned by those that only days before had cheered him into town, as well as those that were closest to him. Only as Jesus took his final breath and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and as the sky went dark, did some say, "Hey, surely he was the Son of God." You see, they thought it was the end. They thought the grave had conquered Jesus. They thought the man who claimed to be God had finally been proven wrong. But there was a great discovery about to be uncovered. So let's pick the story up now in the Bible from Matthew 28. It says, "After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me. And we continue into verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, they discovered the stone had been rolled away. They searched for the dead and discovered life. They soon realized that their tears were to be exchanged for great, great joy. They seek the body of Jesus, but they discovered he was not there, for he is risen. And this morning, I want to point to something that is so often overlooked, so often brushed over in the excitement of the knowledge of his great resurrection. It's the character of God in the midst of it all. You see, Jesus had suffered. He'd been beaten and mocked. He'd been betrayed and deserted. The very people Jesus came to guide had left him to die alone. They had not stood their ground. They had not stood with Jesus in the midst of his suffering. Yet he was not angry. He was not upset. He did not speak of revenge against those that had killed him. He did not judge them. Jesus remained a faithful friend. Jesus' love was greater than his pain. Jesus' compassion was greater than his suffering. Jesus remained true to his word that he had not come to condemn the world, but to save it. This morning I want to remind you that Jesus is love. He defines that word. And it is his great love that should be recalled in the midst of his resurrection. You see, the Bible tells us about this great love. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Jesus is love, and this is our God. You see, his ability to withstand such torment and still stand by his promises, still stand with those who deserted him, surely sets the tone for us to take today and forevermore. Remember, even in the midst of his suffering on the cross, Jesus still cared about the ones that mocked him and those that drove nails into his hands and feet. Remember, in the midst of his pain, he was thinking about them. He was thinking about us. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." He was still looking to defend them. He was still looking to defend us. You see, Jesus' love is unfailing. And it is this love that I encourage you to share and show others as you leave this place this morning. The love of Christ is a powerful, powerful thing. You see, no matter what our lives look like, no matter what we have done, Jesus cares for each of us. He has come to save us, not condemn us. And his plea is the same today as it was then. Turn to me, learn my ways, obey my instructions, and be transformed. See, God is able to do abundantly more than you can think or imagine. You know, in our church we say, "Come as you are. Come as you are. And be transformed by the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ." Is the story of the resurrection not reason for us to respond with grace and compassion to those that oppose us? To respond with forgiveness to those that have hurt us? And respond with hope in the knowledge that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is with each of us until the end of the age. You see, Jesus is alive, and he wants to show you and I his amazing way, his amazing truth, and his amazing life. And this brings me to a very, very special part of our service this morning. It's our baptisms. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Baptism is a symbolic action of death to our old ways and rising out of the water into a new life following Jesus' ways. It is an outward expression of what has already occurred in the hearts of the five that are to be baptized this morning. So can I ask you five to stand up just for a moment, please? Have a look over there. Why don't you give them a round of applause? You five this morning, Kezia, Bella, Hannah, Jesse, and Anton. You've all decided to make a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. These guys are committed to learning more about Jesus and his ways. And they want to show all of us today that they have decided to follow Jesus. You may be seated, guys. So, Pastor Kerry and Tobin, you guys can hit that nice warm water that we've got prepared for you. Hey, if I end up in the water, it is a happy day. For those of you on the far side of the church, or any of the kids that want to get a better view, feel free to come over, okay, because the action's going to be happening on this side of the church. And just as we prepare, you guys comfortable in there? Yeah, you need a few minutes? That's cool, I got you. Just as we prepare, and as these guys are being baptized, church, will you pray? Will you pray for these guys? And just to encourage you, if you have a word for them, okay, if you have a word from God for them, at the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity. They'll be out the front here. There'll be an opportunity to deliver that word to them, okay? If you want to encourage them or edify them in the word of God, please feel free to do so at the end of our service. So with the guys in the water, we're starting with the youngest member of the five. Why don't we welcome Bella Marie Coward. All right, I'm coming through, Bells. All right, Bells, if you want to stand up there. So I'm going to read a little something that Bella has prepared. So Bella is the youngest of our crew. She's 9 years old. And her story is this. Being a Christian is all I've ever known. I was 4 when I gave my heart to Jesus. So I can't really remember much before 4 years old. But it means a lot to me to be a Christian. I want to be baptized because I know that Jesus is the only God. And if I don't have God, I don't have hope. Why don't we give her a round of applause as she enters the water?
All right. Bella, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, in the confession of your faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and into the name of Jesus Christ.
Awesome, awesome. Next up, we have Kezia Grace Sycamore.
I have grown up in a Christian home and have believed in God for as long as I can remember. I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life because I know I am sinful and need a Savior. Today I am being baptized because in the Bible it says to believe and be baptized. And I do believe. So this is my next step of obedience.
So Kezia Grace Sycamore, what a beautiful name. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Well, by the confession of your faith, I now hereby baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and into the name of Jesus Christ.
Next up, we have Hannah Ritchie. So I'm going to do the talking for Hannah. Hannah gave her heart to Jesus when she was 8 years old at Hillside Christian College in Mr. Dave MacDonald's class, okay? So she has been following the Lord ever since, and she's 11 now. And she believes baptism is an outward sign of the new start that she has made in Christ. And she intends to follow Jesus all the days of her life. Away you go, Hannah.
Hannah, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
Yes.
Well, by the confession of your faith, I now hereby baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and into the name of Jesus Christ.
Awesome. Next up, we have Jesse Joy Gunning. Okay, so Jess, what has caused your decision to be baptized this morning?
I come from a Catholic family, so Jesus has always been involved in my life. My mother and father decided to let me make my own path and allowed me to choose when I would be baptized as an adult. I'm extremely grateful for their decision in doing this, as I believe it makes me appreciate Jesus more and the commitment we're all making to him today greater.
Awesome, Jess. And how has your life changed since you've decided to follow Jesus?
As a teenager, I was no longer following Jesus and his path for me. I didn't understand who he was and wasn't interested in finding out. During this time, I grew to be extremely lost, and I would spend a lot of my time alone and show a negative outlook on life. Now, as an adult, after my first time attending Hillside and talking with people and praying, I realized I wasn't alone. I noticed that I could get through some of the worst days with Jesus by my side, and now I try to help as many people as I can throughout my day. My faith has brought me peace, and I am extremely excited to take the next step in my journey with the Lord.
Awesome. Are you ready? So, Jesse, do you confess Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. On the confession of your faith, we now baptise you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ.
And finally, so we've had ladies first, and now we have Anton Joseph Mallow. So, Ant, very, very special morning for all of you guys. Why have you decided to be baptized this morning?
I was born again here a couple of years ago on a men's night. I gave my testimony. It just felt right. You know, I've been asked a couple of times before to whether I'd want to be baptized, but I wasn't ready. I felt in myself, and I didn't just want to do it just to because people were asking me or because I felt that I had to do it, you know? I wanted to do it because it came from my heart and it was my decision to make on my own. And here we are. So, yeah, my decision was made with you not too long ago at the cafe, and I'll follow through with it, and I'm feeling good. I just want to say that it's been a bit emotional for me, but I used to think, you know, why? Because me and Mum, you know, we had a bit of struggles with cafe before this, and I used to think, you know, why here? And I realise now, you know, I realise that we were brought here to save my life, and this place has, whether it be before I come here, I won't get into it, but I was a lost little soul. I was doing the wrong thing. I was pretty hurt, just not to myself, but to everyone around me. And by the grace of God, I thank God that what had happened to me happened to me. I was facing 2.5 years jail, and if it wasn't for Pastor Kerry, who I love like a father, everybody here saved my life. And if I thank God every day that I got caught by the cops. I thank God every day that I got brought here because it changed my life. It really did. And there is a better way. For anyone that is new here or whatever and unsure, come and have a chat with these guys, you know, whether it be the HCCO or the staff here, everybody, the cafe, the people from the cafe, Lynn, Sue, Brum Brum, everybody here, I love yous, all our regulars, you know, everybody has played a little part. My uncle, who's come, or my cousins all the way from Kojanup, you know, I used to, back in the day, you know, I used to have my little, I'd be lost and I'd never really understand, you know, my Uncle Joe, Auntie Anna would always come, put his hand on me and pray for me. I never really knew much back then, but I do now, and honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I love yous all more than anyone. My Auntie Connie, Uncle Tony, wise people, anything I ever needed, you know, they'd be for me. And I can't express it enough, you know. And these guys here, seriously, you just be yourself and they will change your life if you want it bad enough. If you want to change your life, you have to start with yourself. And for me, you know, the events happened in my life where I didn't want it anymore. And it hasn't been easy, believe me. I've fallen along the way, but I've got the people there to pick me back up and have the good love and support, you know. And I just want to finish with a psalm that was given to me by a very close friend in my dark days. And for me, it's helped me. I recite it every single morning, and I hope it can help you. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord, for He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. For He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithfulness and promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, or the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will rescue and honor them, and I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. That was Psalm 91, New Living Translation. For me, it's played a big part in my life, and I hope, I know I may not show it, but I do. They do. It holds dear in my heart, and it's not easy, but believe me, it is right, and it is a better way. So thanks to everybody here from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Well, you want a job? Well, Anton, this is a great morning and a great day. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
100%, thank you.
Well, on the confession of your faith, and now I've now baptised you in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, and into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So good. Church, why don't we head back to our seats? While we do so, why don't we give all five of them a round of applause? Oh, there is a call for any more. Pastor Kerry's down there. He's still in the water, people. So is there anyone else who wants to be baptized this morning? Anyone else? I'm not sure I should tell you what he said, but he did say it was warm now. I think that'll do it, mate. That last comment sent them all away. So, church, we're coming to the end of our service this morning. Worship team, could I just ask you to return to the stage, please? And church, what a celebration we have had this morning. You see, that sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross all those years ago, and his glorious, glorious resurrection. Even today, right here, you have witnessed the transformational power of Christ. He can change lives, he can change situations, he can change your circumstance. And it would be remiss of me not to give you the opportunity to do so yourselves this morning. So if you want to choose, if you decide this morning that you want to start a journey with Jesus, I do want to give you that opportunity. It's a gift that is given freely. It's the gift of eternal life. So would you all bow your heads and close your eyes, please? You see, the Bible says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, this is a decision between you and God, no one else. And if you've heard the good news of Jesus this morning, you've seen the impact he can have, the transformational power that he has had in the five lives that have been baptized this morning. If you would like to become a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I ask you, if you want to become a follower of Christ this day, would you raise your hand? If that's you this morning, if that's you this morning, if Jesus is calling out, if that has struck a chord in your heart, if the Holy Spirit has been at work in you, you don't even understand, but you know that he is calling you to follow him, raise your hand. Those of you that have raised your hand, I see you. You can put them down now. Hey, you know what? I would love to pray with you after the service. It's an incredible decision that you have made this morning. I want to encourage you that Jesus has a great plan and purpose for your life. He sees your decision this morning. Church, let's pray together as we close. Father, we just thank you for your resurrection power. We thank you for the great discovery that the stone was rolled away. They said you were done, Lord. They thought your story had finished. But it had only just begun. Father, I thank you that the man that says he will die and on the third day I will rise again, he tells the truth. His promises are real. And I thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. You are faithful. I thank you, Lord, that not only did you conquer the grave, but Lord, you came back and you loved us even more. Father, you weren't angry. You weren't upset. You came and you wanted us to know you, to know your power even more. I thank you that you are love. Father, this day, from this house, Lord, I pray that we would go out and we would share your good news, but we would share your character. You are love, Lord. So as we go about our days today, as we celebrate these baptisms, as we spend time, maybe with family, maybe with friends, Father, I ask that your love would reign in our homes. For all, Lord God, we thank you that you are the resurrected King. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.